But higher. This is SRN News.
The pastor and congregation of First Conservative Baptist Church would like to invite you to worship with them on Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Bible study and 10:30 a.m. worship services. A church with the focus of preaching and teaching God's Word. Expository preaching with God-honoring music. First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today in which you find silence for the most part in the news media and from pulpits across America. I'm calling it the coming global Islamic invasion. I'm using the title from my book that was published in 2013. I'm looking at the cover now, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, the study of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And in that book, I talk about what is taking place, what will take place, what the Word of God says in the final days. I'm looking at a headline that says, Israeli soccer fans attacked in Amsterdam. And it goes on to talk about the difficulty that took place with the gangs ganging up of the Islamic jihadists trying to slaughter the Jewish people. I have on the line with us today one of our 4 sons, Greg Youngblood, resides up in the southern tip of heaven, right there in Tennessee. I'm thankful, Greg, that you could take time out of your schedule to be with us today. And again, I want to say, for the benefit of our listeners, I'm thankful for you and what God has used you to do through your church there in Tennessee to minister to the flood victims, to provide for them many items that otherwise they wouldn't have had because of the derelict deficit of the FEMA. They did very, very little. But thank you again for what you have done, for what God's used you to do, and for your team of helpers in Towering Oaks Baptist Church there in Greenville, Tennessee. Greg, just before the news break, I said I wanted to read Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. God's word says, Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about, when they shall be in the siege, being against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, speaking of in that day and the last days, it's speaking of the last days before the rapture of the church. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And I say that, and I link it with looking at headline after headline after headline that's taking place around the globe with the Israeli, with the Jewish people being hunted down. One headline says, Jews hunted down in the European program, PROGOM. Perhaps you'd like to address that in a moment. Another headline, Israel's war with Iran on 7 fronts. Another headline, Gallant, that is the one of the leaders in Israel, says Israel being attacked from 7 sides has hit back on 6 of those sides. Another headline, Jews hunted down in a program across Europe. Another headline, growing concern, Iran may be used of the Biden's lame duck period to attack Israel. All of those are headlines that I think needs to get our attention for us to understand what is going to take place in these last of the last days. So, Greg, when we look at what is said in Zechariah, that is the 12th chapter, God says that in the last days, Jerusalem is going to be the focal point of the globe. Would you explain that from your thoughts for our listeners to understand why it is so important that we understand what it says?
Well, one point after another, as we get to the wrap-up of this old universe, is a focus around Israel. You have the entirety of the with the planning and preparation for the nation of Israel, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah to come forth as our Savior, as our Redeemer. And in the very last of the last days, that 70th week of Daniel, 600 years before Christ, pen to paper, tells you how it's going to play out. Zechariah, I think, is about that time frame, hundreds of years before Christ, tells you how things are going to play out. And we're seeing those things come together like hand and glove. I've said many, many, many times, if Nostradamus had written these words, they'd be on the front of every single newspaper. But it's in the Bible. It is the inspired, inerrant, plenary word of God. So we can't put it in the front page of the paper, I guess. It is prophecy coming to fruition before our very eyes. It's a beautiful thing for any believer out there that's not getting a little excited about what's next. By the way, folks, don't misunderstand me. There's chaos on the horizon. There's chaos that's been here for years. There's destruction ahead, but it's also the fulfillment of prophecy. And I'm not looking forward to the chaos and the destruction. I'm looking for the coming of the Messiah again. He came as that humble deliverer Messiah 2,000 years ago, and he will come as victorious king and judge in the very near future. When we get to the end, we got to read that Zechariah 14:4 and the way what that's going to look like as he comes back. But that 70th week of Daniel is like right out before us. We had to have an Israel that was in place and reestablished for that for that 70th week of Daniel to play out, and we've seen that happen. And the whole world's focus, it seems like day after day after day, is Israel. Well, that Revelation text, that's a whole bunch about Israel. Everything's taking place there. I would like for somebody to find the United States in the picture. Because you don't find the United States clearly in any of those texts where all of a sudden, you know, we're doing X, Y, or Z. It tells me something. It tells me the United States either will be no more or will not be the superpower that it has been for the past two centuries.
I believe we'll probably be subsumed into the revival of the Roman Empire, the 10 nations that will arrive as coming together, and it goes back to the Daniel 7 and 8 that will validate that. Greg, I want to read to you and for our listeners. I'm looking at page 293 in my book, 25 chapters, entitled Is Islam Tolerant? The front of the book, it has pictures, behead those who insult Islam, Europe will be Islamic, slay those who insult Islam, be prepared for the real Holocaust. That's pictures being of signs being carried in European countries. Geert Wilder, G-E-E-R-T, Geert Wilder, in an open plea to the United States of America. My book was published in 2011, and this was about 2009 or 2010. Geert Wilder made this plea. It's the entire chapter, his statements. I'm going to read a portion of it and get your take. Here's a speech from Geert Wilder, party chairman for the Freedom, the Netherlands, at the Four Seasons Hotel in New York, where he was introducing an alliance of patriots and announcing the coming jihadic conference in Jerusalem. He says, "Dear friends, thank you, first of all, for inviting me. I come to America with a mission, all is not well in this old world. There's a tremendous danger looming, and it's very difficult to be optimistic. We might be in the final stages of the Islamization of Europe. This not only is the clear present danger to the future of Europe itself, it is a threat to all of America and the sheer survival of the West. The United States is the last bastion of Western civilization facing an Islamic Europe. All throughout Europe, a new reality is rising. New Muslim neighborhoods where very few indigenous people reside or even could be seen. And if they are seen, they might regret it. This goes for the police as well. It's the world of headscarves, where women walk around in figureless tents with baby strollers and a group of children. Their husbands are slaveholders. If you prefer, walk three steps ahead. With mosques on the streets, corners, and the shops that have signs that you cannot read, you will be hard-pressed to find an economy actively. These are Muslim ghettos controlled by religious fanatics. There are Muslim neighborhoods, and they are mushrooming in every city across Europe. These are the building blocks of the territorial control of increasingly larger portions of Europe. Street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city, there are now thousands of mosques throughout Europe with larger congregations than there are in churches. Many European cities are already one quarter Muslim. Just think, for example, listen, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, Marseille, France, parts of Sweden. In many cities, the majority of the number of the population are under 18 years of age and they're Muslim. Paris is now surrounded by a ring of Muslim neighborhoods. Muhammad is the most popular name given to boys. In some elementary schools, Amsterdam, the farm can no longer be mentioned because that also would mean mentioning the pig, etc., etc. In France, it goes on to talk about the different cities, the different places. He states here, Jews are fleeing Europe, fleeing France in record numbers for the run of wave of anti-Semitism since World War II. French is now commonly spoken on the streets of Tel Aviv, etc., etc., etc. Pew Research Center reported that half of the French Muslims see their loyalty to Islam greater than their loyalty to France. One-third of French Muslims do not object to suicide attacks. Muslims' demands are supported by unlawful behavior. And I could go on and on and on. He says here, let no one fool you about Islam being a religion. Sure, it has a God and a hereinafter, 72 virgins, but it is an essence. Islam is a political ideology. It is a system that lays down detailed rules for the society and life for every person. Islam wants to dictate every aspect of life. Islam means submission. Islam is not compatible with freedom, not compatible with democracy, because what it strives for is Sharia law. If you want to compare Islam to anything, compare it to communism, national socialism. These are totalitarian ideologies. Now you know why Winston Churchill called Islam the most retrograde force in the world, why he compared Mein Kampf to the Quran, and public has wholeheartedly accepted the Palestinian narrative, and they see Israel as the aggressor. Greg, the chapter is about 14 to 15 pages long, Aldous Gert Wilder's statement. And he touched on very clearly what's happening in the Netherlands, warning America not to become like the Netherlands. Right today in the Netherlands, the whole political machine is controlled by Islamic jihadists. Geert Wilder has again been reelected back in as one of the parliamentarians. He is concerned with what he sees in all of Europe, and he sees that as being rapid pace coming to place in America. And Greg, just recently, you perhaps are familiar with the fact that Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, the most recent candidate for vice president, had his flag changed for the state of Minnesota. It is a replica of what is called the Palestinian flag. We have today in America a push to embrace Islam, not realizing that it is, once it reaches a level, it will rise up and take total control. How should we respond as Christians, as pastors, as conservatives, as patriots in America, how should we respond? What should be our take on this? Should we be silent? Should we be warning as the watchman on the wall? Is there a danger before us as you see it? Respond to those multiple questions.
Well, that Ezekiel, I guess the Ezekiel 3 text would tell you that we ought to be as watchmen on the wall and warn the people. And that's a dual or triple or quadruple warning. You know, warn of the influence of Islam, the influence of unwalled cities and the protection that ought to be there. Ultimately, warn of judgment to come. The reality is those that are without Christ will face a most devastating and certain future. So that warning needs to go out to each of them. They need to know of the love of Jesus and the redemption that he offers. But there's a multi-tiered response, too. Government has a responsibility, and of course,
yes.
our government was established to secure our rights. And by the way, you can't have any rights if you're dead. You can't have any rights if there's not a government there to secure those rights, and you can't secure those rights if it's a wide open border. When I say these things, now keep in mind, we've had a flood of probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 million illegally entering here, and we've called it something other than illegal immigration. They like to call them just migrants. Well, hold on a second. If you come here and you tell a tale and you say, I'm coming as a refugee, but the reality is, I think the number's over 70% of those that show up in court, their refugee status is denied. They're coming here for some other purpose. That makes them coming here. That means they're coming here illegally. But that number of those, the 70% plus, that it's determined that they are not, they don't qualify under the refugee provisions. Understand that a very, very, very small number ever show up in court. We've just released them into the innards of the United States, and the chaos, you sow to the wind, what does the scripture say? You reap to the whirlwind. The whirlwind is coming. And with millions being here, it doesn't take a huge number to create chaos. I want you folks to think for just a moment about 23 years ago and how 19 individuals caused complete chaos. And it took us into a new world of homeland security. And by the way, you get on an airplane, they want the real ID, they want your passport, they want your driver's license, everything has to match up just right. You got to step through a scanner and get looked at naked and felt up and all these kind of things. We have folks that come across the border, they have no ID in their hand. Basically, we're taking them on good faith that, hey, your name's Juan, and thank you for being here, and we want you to show up in court in 5 years. Here's your EBT card. Here's your cell phone. We're going to put you up in a $200 or $300 a night hotel and put you on an airplane and send you wherever you want to go. There's something wrong with that picture. But at the end of the day, none of that plays out well. Do you think that there are 19 people here out of the millions? Do you think there are 19 people here that wish us harm? Yes, there are. Matter of fact, there are over 400,000, I believe, last year, criminal acts committed by people that are not legally here in the United States. What are we doing, folks? What are we doing? The reality is the rule of law has disappeared, and at the same time it has disappeared, you have some pastors in some pulpits across America, they'll preach Romans 13, and it's the submit, 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 submit. And we do have an obligation to submit to the authority. Where's the authority, though? I want you to reread that text, folks, and I want you to think about who has the authority in this government. The authority, the supreme authority in the government, we know God is over all, but I want you to read the Constitution again. It is the self-described supreme law of the land. How do you like that? And every public office holder raises their right hand and swears an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. We don't have a whole long list of people we're to submit to. We have a long list of servants that are to submit to that Constitution, and they're to be serving we the people. A lot of times that misunderstanding has led people to absolutely absurd ends. And I would pray today that believers under the sound of my voice would realize that our standing is not one of second-class citizens. you have a right to stand and be counted. I hope that, I don't know what the stats are now, 4 years ago, 40 million self-professed believers did not go to the polls. I hope you all made it to the polls. I'm glad for most of the outcome. I still think that we ought to audit Maricopa County in Arizona, because I really don't think Kerry Lake lost out there, not seeing as how Donald Trump won. But that's just kind of a secondary thing. The reality is the rule of law must mean something. We as believers should stand for truth, whether that
Absolutely.
Truth be rule of law, whether that truth be calling a man and a woman, whether that truth be, you know, the destruction of all things that would do harm to Christendom, that would do harm to the cause, the body of Christ. This nation
yes.
was founded by believers, and it's because of God's good grace that we have stood for 230 years.
Absolutely. And Greg, that brings me to the thought, some closing thoughts on it. Genesis chapter 16, verse 10, 11, and 12, a little summary nugget there, because many will ask, well, where do the Islamics come from? Who are they? Why this 4,000-year battle against the Jewish people? It is the battle between Isaac and Ishmael, the son of promise and the son that man decided would be born. And the Islamic jihadists, according to that text in Genesis, the 16th chapter, verse 12 in particular, it is very, very clear as to what the Islamics will be like. It says, and he will, that's speaking of Ishmael, and what we're looking at with the Islamic jihadists today are the ones that have come out from Ishmael, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all the brethren. And Greg, when I say that, I'm looking at pages 34 and 35 in particular in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? And so that our listeners will understand the mindset and the proclivity of Islam, their Quran says, and Surah 2:191, and kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such as the recompense of the disbelievers. Fight them until there's no more disbelief in Allah, Surah 2:193. Surah 2:216, jihad, that is holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for every Muslim, Surah 4:56. Those who disbelieve shall burn, we shall burn them in fire. Surah 4:101. The disbelievers, non-Muslims, are ever unto you an open enemy. Surah 4:102. Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 8:55. The worst moving living creature before Allah are those who disbelieve, all non-Muslims. Surah 9:5. Then kill the disbelievers, non-Muslims, wherever you find them. Capture them, besiege them, lie wait for them, each and every one, ambush them. Fight against them, non-Muslims, so that Allah will punish them by your hand and disgrace them and give you the victory over them. Fight all those who believe not in Allah, those Jews and Christians who acknowledge not the religion of Islam. And I could go on and on and on with the quotes directly from the Quran codified in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? So the bottom line is, Greg, we're facing an enemy against not just the Jewish people, but against all non-Muslims on a global basis. And yet, Greg, the thing that I find so disconcerting, you spoke of it a moment ago, Ezekiel 33, where we're to be the watchmen on the wall and to warn of the dangers ahead. I see no one in the pulpits, very few if any, warning against the dangers ahead at the hands of the Islamics. We see no one from the political standpoint that is doing anything other than trying to appease and embrace the Islamic jihadist in America. And we're finding more and more of those that are coming in. And out of the 15 to 20 million that came in illegally, a whole host of those, if not most of them, have Islamic roots, and they're here to hurt, harm, tear down, and destroy, not to help, not to build up. And so God holds us responsible to speak the truth in love and talk about it. Greg, when we look at what the Word of God says in relationship to the Genesis text, then if we know that God said that Ishmael and his progeny would be the enemies of the world, what is it that causes us to believe that somehow, some way, God's word is wrong and they can be embraced? Israel understands it. The Jewish people understand who the enemy is, and right now fighting the enemy for survival. Then in Ezekiel 33, verse 10, it says, how should we then live? So based on that challenge in that text, I think it's the responsibility of the Christian, the responsibility of the church, responsibility of pastors, responsibility of our politicians, that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, while we're yet free as a nation. Europe today is in the clutches of Islamic jihadists. The Netherlands today, controlled by the Islamic jihadists. And we're witnessing, Greg, the uprising, the coming together, the building up of the coming global Islamic invasion. And it's my prayer that we will speak up, stand up, do something before it is too late. What are some of the last thoughts and last words that you would have in relationship to how Israel needs to respond, how we need to respond toward Israel? What should be President Trump's stand for Israel, with Israel? How should we then live?
As long as possible, we should continue to adhere to that proviso for Abraham, and that proviso for Abraham and his lineage was, those that bless thee, I will bless, and those that curse thee, I will curse. And from that perspective, we as believers need to continue to be advocates for, realizing that they still have blinders, they still have blinds on their eyes, and those scales will fall from their eyes one day, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced. The realization will hit them. The 144,000, their eyes will be opened, and they will be Jewish evangelists during the tribulation. And I tell you what—that's some of what my mind goes to every day as the day draws closer to Jesus' return. And you know, that's the disciples, as they watched him leave from the Mount of Olives, he ascended into the clouds, and the angels standing by said, why do you look, and you stand here gazing into the sky? The same way you've seen him go, that's the way he's going to come again. And in Zechariah 14 and verse 4, we see, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall clave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove to the north, and half toward the south. He's coming back. He's coming back soon. I'm looking forward to being called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will ever be with the Lord. If that is not your hope today, I'd pray that you would come to know Jesus in the way that I know Jesus, as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Redeemer. And with that hope, I would send you out into this world that you would be watchmen, that you would be a light on a hill that cannot be extinguished, yes. And that the yes. Lord would use you day by day, moment by moment, to share his love and his light.
Amen. Greg, thank you so much for taking time to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Trusted Voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7.
So right now,